Hello everyone, thank you so much for having me with you today. It's such a privilege. My name's Hannah, I'm Barney and Lucy's cousin. I currently live in Swansea with my husband and our very large dog. I work for a church, he's a doctor, and we are obsessed with food. Now, before I start, I don't know if anyone has been following the sport this summer or is excited for the sport. And if so, what are you looking forward to most? Is it Wimbledon, the Olympics, the football? Because I'm excited about Skye Brown, who's a 12-year-old skateboarder who's representing Great Britain in the Olympics this year. And I just feel really challenged just to say to kids and young people, she's 12 years old, you're never too young to follow your dreams or to know God and to be used by him. And equally, you're never too old. There's this lady I love called Hurricane Hawkins. She's 104 and she started running when she was 100. And she currently holds the world record for the 100 metre dash in her category. So for some of you, God is saying, don't give up on yourself. He still has things in store for you. And so Philippians 4. This whole chapter is titled in the NIV, An Appeal for Steadfastness and Unity. And that's what I want to encourage us in today. Church, let's get steadfast and let's be united. Let's stand firm in God and firm together. Because I don't know about you, but this past year has been one of real loneliness in a lot of different ways. And as we come back to society, come back to community, come back to church, being around people again, it can be a bit of a challenge. And I think we've all changed over the past 18 months and our differences may be more obvious than ever. We don't have to look far to see disunity in our society or even in our lives and in our homes. And we're all different. But our differences are intentional and part of a greater plan and a beautiful plan that God has. Unity is not uniformity. Our differences are essential and crucial in God's plan. And where there's unity, it commands a blessing. And I just want to encourage you, as you step into a new chapter as a church, chase after unity. I love that image in Psalms where of the oil, unity being like oil. It says it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. We want that blessing, not just for those who are closely connected, but for those who are on the edge of church, on the skirts of the garment, as it were, that the oil flows to them, that they have an encounter with Jesus. Because unity is powerful, it's gentle, and it's patient. It's keeping the main thing, and that's Jesus. Unity is to do with oneness and purpose, one common goal. Not saying everyone has to be the same. It's not sameness, it's steadfastness. And steadfastness that withstands adversity. And we can't do it ourselves. I love that Sandy Miller says that disunity is a luxury that we can't afford as a church. But we have that promise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Unity is formed through the bond of peace by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Let's get unified, church. And secondly, this appeal for steadfastness. In verse 4 to 7 it reads, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's interesting in this chapter of steadfastness, Paul talks about anxiety, the worries of the world, and says, do not be anxious. I don't know about you, but that often seems impossible, to have no anxious thoughts at all. Because anxiety, fear, stress, panic are rampant all around us in society. And anxiety especially is crippling us. Some of us may have thoughts from time to time or a high anxiety job. Some of us are on medication. Some of us have seen healing. Some of us may have suffered since COVID-19. Some of us may be okay. But some of us are in the midst of a battle that doesn't seem to be ending. And there's a lot I don't know and I don't have answers for, and they love you if you're walking your faith through a journey of mental illness. And I'm not lessening that in any way, but whether we have big things going on in our lives right now or day-to-day struggles, to keep that steadfast trust in God I believe God wants to meet with us today. So how can Paul say, don't be anxious? Is that even possible? I don't think the verse is saying nothing will ever happen to you to make you anxious or you shouldn't be anxious. But the encouragement is not to stay there. When anxiety often seems overwhelming, illogical and beyond understanding, the answer must be supernatural and something that goes beyond our understanding. And it's the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And this is a battle we're facing together. We're not meant to fight this individually or alone. This is a church responsibility. Paul wasn't writing to an individual, but to a community, a whole church that he wanted unified. And there's no shame today, wherever you're at, what you're going through, we do this together. We need to get better at talking about these things, creating safe spaces. Let's talk, church. Don't let shame or anxiety drive you into isolation. As a family, we should be each other's biggest encouragers. And I find it strange where there's really uplifting encouragement that says, rejoice! And then bang, do not be anxious. How does that fit? Well, between the two verses, there's supposed to be a semicolon. So do not be anxious is a continuation of the verse above. So in the midst of the battle, there's something to be said that in the midst of inexplicable fears, don't stop worshipping. Be steadfast worshippers because worship is so powerful. Don't stop celebrating life and God, even when your mind and body say otherwise. It's not about living in denial, but get together because we're in this together and rejoice. That's steadfastness. Do you have a group of people you can celebrate with? You know, say, hey, everything's going to hell and back right now. We're in a bad place, but we're still breathing and Jesus is still on the throne. Get people around you who'll carry you to Jesus and pray on your behalf. You can say to them, hey, I'm full of anxiety. Can you show me how to celebrate God? Can we pray together? The Bible says it. I wonder how things would change if we did it. As if a church be rallied and we united around the word of God. And I'm not saying these are guaranteed solutions for what we're going through, but I think there's some things that can help. And Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. He writes that his best achievement out of all he did was to let go of his own abilities, strength, achievements, and trust God. Jesus is calling some of us to let go of our own strength. Let go of that lie that if you were stronger, you could beat this. Because we can't do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. We let go. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Not in anything, but in everything, pray. And I love this in 1 Peter 5:7, where he says, cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. None of these verses talk about the anxiety going away. And I believe God does heal and he will heal, but when he hasn't yet, what does he promise? He promises his care. He promises that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. He cares. It's not cast your cares and all will be fixed. Because often we think cares equals fixing things in a way we think it should be done. But we're citizens of heaven. That's our home. God is eternal and he thinks eternally. So we say, I need you to fix this. And God says, I'm going to take care of you. Oh, that means you're going to fix it. No, I'm going to take care of you. God values relationship above all. We were created for relationship. We're here for relationship. Jesus doesn't devalue what we're going through, the battles we face. He wept over the suffering he saw. But God's main value is be with me forever. How does God care? We get his peace, the person of peace, Jesus. God gives himself. He doesn't promise he'll take it away, but he gives you himself. I'll be with you. Let me get that sense of God with us. And I just want to end with this, the Message version of Philippians 4. Where it says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I love that. It's not that all the worries and fear and anxiety are gone, but they're not the centre anymore. Jesus is. We didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, but suddenly we get a sense of God. You know, the things we can do to help ourselves to listen to the Holy Spirit and His prompting in your life. We turn our requests and prayers to God. Through it all, I'm going to bank everything on a supernatural Father who's going to bring me peace. Our circumstances may not change, but we'll change at the core of who we are. Come what may, we're going to be okay because we're fully loved by God. That's the main thing. Jesus is the main thing, church. So let's be steadfast, hold on to Him, and let's hold on to each other in unity as well. Thank you.